just to make a link between these two passages in Numbers chapter 27, one more comment about this Urim. This was one of two stones. There were these two stones that the high priests carried around, the Urim and the Thummim. There's not really much scripture that explains them. We have to sort of make some inferences just to see how they were used. They were carried in a pouch connected to the breastplate of the high priest. But they always seem to be used in connection with this idea of inquiring of the Lord, like it says there in Numbers 27. It says it elsewhere too, even into the days after the exile. There were times when they said, well, we'll have to make some decisions, we have to seek the Lord, and we need to have the Urim and the Thummim brought. And in some manner, the Lord would make his mind known to the people who were seeking guidance with these stones. And in Deuteronomy 31, there is this anticipation that the people and also Joshua are going to need to depend on the Lord in an ongoing way. And I'd like to just connect that to this idea of inquiring of the Lord. It wasn't just that Joshua was going to stand before Eleazar and Eleazar would inquire of the Lord and then he could sort of move on. He'd been received that blessing and then he would be able to go on in his own strength for leadership for all these years to come. It wasn't that way. It was that this is an opportunity. There is this resource of inquiring of the Lord. There is something available for you which will allow you to find out what the Lord says about the situation that is ahead of you. And the situation that is ahead of Joshua here is not the first time he's going to be facing some need for guidance. He is going to face the need for guidance all along. And so when we get to Deuteronomy 31, Moses' words to the people are, "The Lord your God himself crosses before you." Verse 3, "I'm not crossing before you, but the Lord is crossing before you, and Joshua is crossing before you." So the people have a resource. The people have one in whom they can, on whom they can rely. And when he speaks to Joshua in verses 7 and 8, he says the same in verse 8. He's the one, the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And so when we are facing all these situations, how is it that anyone can continue following the Lord for this extended period of time? Beginning is one thing. Continuing is a far different thing. How can this be done? We've already mentioned these resources that are available, and this is just adding to that theme that the Lord is there. The opportunity to inquire of him, it's there. We can nurture and foster this relationship with his help. He wants this relationship with us, and if we seek the Lord, he will be found of us. And so Joshua is given this encouragement. This is the means by which he's going to be able to continue. Moses doesn't say, well, in a couple of years, you're going to face this, and a few years later than that, you're going to have to face this. Moses doesn't explain to him all the things he's going to have to deal with or have to face or have to unravel as the leader of God's people. We're not going to know in advance all the requirements and impositions of responsibilities we may receive from the Lord, but we know that we have this relationship. We know that we can inquire of him. We know that we have the one who said he will never leave us or forsake us.
I always wondered, what is Moses doing in Deuteronomy 31 for Joshua? And truly, he's being obedient to the voice of the Lord, because in Numbers 27, he said, the Lord said something to him that we don't want to overlook because it is Deuteronomy 31. Thou shalt put of thine honor upon him so that the people might obey him. Let me repeat that. Thou shalt put of thine honor upon him so that the people could obey him. If I can use a word that we're familiar with, what Moses was doing is, through the Lord, is placing upon him a moral weight amongst the people of God. Sometimes we think of that honor or that moral weight is something that I work and I do it for me. It is something that the Lord will place upon certain individuals. He gives them a moral weight to be able to help and lead and settle matters amongst the people of God. I would like to think of it in light of New Testament. In Acts chapter 15, there was the issue of circumcision. And for many of us, we would think the one who has the ultimate moral weight has to be Paul, because we like the line of Paul. Or the other known apostle that spoke in Acts 15 was Peter. So they all had moral weight, trust me. Tremendous. They were pillars. But you know what? I'm always amazed with the fact that out of such a discussion, Peter spoke, Paul spoke. But you know, in that setting of things, the one who had the most moral weight was James. And James said, "I see." And he settled the matter. Brethren, let us not just think that I have a moral weight or you have a moral weight. It is something that will be recognized by others. As long as an individual is governed by the Spirit of God, and it is something that God will give the individual, then the people, it was in relationship to the people, they will obey him. Then the people will accept the counsel. Then the people will hearken to the advice, because God will put a certain moral weight upon the individual. And that's what Moses was doing in Deuteronomy 31.
Moses did that after the Lord have chosen Joshua. It wasn't the other way around. Let me put some honor on him so the people would recognize him. He was establishing before the eyes of the people of God what God have already established. It's very interesting also that in Numbers, we have him standing before Eleazar the priest. It was in the presence of the priest where leadership start. It's in the presence of the priest. Because if we give guidance, we need divine guidance. And as we have heard already, you need the priest for that, to discern where to go and how to do it. We have the throne of grace available for us. Therefore, when you come to the book of Deuteronomy, it's not here before the priest. In verse 14, he called Joshua and they stood in the tent of meetings. This is the first time, the only time, the tent of meeting is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. The only time. And it is in connection with that very same place. It is in the presence of God that leadership will start. And it is in the presence of God would leadership continue. To be a good leader, you must be a good follower. And as Joshua was following the Lord, him and Caleb, he is able also to lead the people of God. But we need to keep in mind, it could not be done independent from the presence of God. And it's, as you were saying, it is not an easy task. It is really a hard task. When the leader goes straight, the people will usually follow. How important it is. People seek that position. And I don't know, unless the Lord put that position in anybody's heart, nobody should seek it, because it's a great responsibility. When one goes wrong, many would follow with him. That's why it's very, very important in every decision, young or old, individual, big decision, small decision. We need to be in the tabernacle, in the presence of the Lord, before our great high priest, the Lord Jesus.